Silence is a key theme in our discussion this week. Who gets to speak? The true self or the one seeking approval? So there's the silence behind performance. And that's heartbreaking to see in a three-year-old. But there's also the silence underneath the secrecy of power. Shakespeare called attention to that as with almost every one of our dilemmas of class. Quote, "Bad is the world, and all will come to naught when such ill dealing must be seen in thought." Unquote, from Richard III. And the translator, I shouldn't say it like that, but it sort of is. Jack R. Crawford writes, "Seen in thought means observed, but not referred to." You know, like this totalitarianism growing around us. Silence, when only voices scrubbed by power gain currency. Silence, when born into a manufactured reality. Silence, when masks are all we get to see. Silence is the death of authenticity. Not long ago, I listened to a conversation about the power of advertising to create opinion, to influence thinking. And I replied in my head, that's only because of our inherent communalism. We're all searching for that communal voice. That's part of our nature, mutual aid. Our nature is to seek the truth by consulting the communal voice, the historical consensus that comes from many minds working on a question. So power services our need for that communal voice by providing mass media. What is the opposite of a manufactured communal voice but an authentic one? One that arises from our communal practice. But we can only provide this for ourselves if it's an ongoing practice. But until we create such a practice, it seems we're in a catch-22. We can only think, i.e. in the communal voice, through the punditry. And it only represents for power. This is what makes the betrayal of the punditry so devastating. And it also, by the way, explains why so many people flee to, quote unquote, nature, that unmediated voice of the earth. So that we can hear ourselves think, hear the voice of the earth speak. But this is what makes the betrayal of the punditry so devastating. When power owns them, it owns the communal voice. It creates names. What it's possible to think. Creating the illusion of truth, as Bentham instructed. Because an authentic communal voice is denied us due to enforced atomization. And authenticity is effectively silenced. This relates to the film, this film, first because power orchestrated events, the manufacturing of reality, remain hidden under the terms of so-called professional journalism. I've never heard that conversation either. Remain forever removed from what it is possible to think, because these guys have layers and layers and layers. You're never going to prove it. And if you devote your, if you exclusively, or if you waste your time, which is all we get from journalism, pretending that it's doing us some vast service as if this is a mystery. Here, let's, from below, start saying out loud to these folks, it ain't complicated. States are there to get us to do the work. It's pretty straightforward. And they're going to have layers and layers and layers and layers of misdirection and songs and dances to distract us from the obvious truth. It's all about controlling our hands, our work. They want to be able to harness our energy, to be able to put our brains to work for them, for obvious reasons. They want to think that they are, in fact, supreme, divine, godlike. It's nutty, I know. It's hard for us to believe this is so. But Virginia Woolf nailed it in one. We are creatures of illusion. Illusion. I listened to this interview. I shouldn't be smiling at this, actually. I mean, it was pretty horrible. A child who had been recruited into the Taliban in Afghanistan, who was on his way to blow up himself and a bunch of folk. And when they tried to debrief with him afterwards, he himself couldn't quite grasp why he was doing this. But because he was a child, because we are of good heart, because we're wired to trust the adults around us when we're young, to believe we're trying to learn, we're trying to figure out this mess. And a whole bunch of them gave him that historical consensus, that communal voice, told him that you will be the ultimate servant of God if you do this, okay? I mean, it is that easy to co-opt innocence. And innocence simply means questing, the questing child, which we should all be. But we're not wired to handle duplicity. And I hate that expression, wired. What can I say? We're all products of this mess. We all have to engage in constant vigilance to unlearn it, become something different.